inside him, how come his relationship with his Yiddishkeit was such that you find out you're not Jewish, you walk away, that's fine, but what about the relationship? Besides these chayvus, you're not chayv, machinami, you're not chayv, don't keep the mitzvah, but what about the relationship with Shabbos, with Torah, with mitzvahs? How come inside he didn't have that kesha? So we brought the Shlo HaKadosh, could have to look at the Shlo HaKadosh again just to try and internalize it. Zeh keili v'anveihu, when it's keili, when it's my own personal relationship with Hashem, then it's v'anveihu, ani v'hu, anveihu is loshen ani v'hu. So then I and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a relationship with Dveikus. But if it's only Kel Oviv, Elo Kei Ovi, V'aroyme Meinu, Roymeh Mus is something that's very far away from us. So if the only relationship you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because of Kel Oviv, that this is the God of my father, and therefore whatever, I do what I'm told because I'm a good boy. So then your relationship is very, it's not personal, it's not internal, it's not primius. So if you discover that that's not your relationship, you move away, you leave it. But if it's Zek Kaili, you have a personal relationship, you have a personal experience with the thing, then you don't run away from it. If the only reason why you don't get scared when you sit on the chair is because someone told you there's a chair there, but you yourself don't have any cash into the chair, so you wouldn't be scared to sit on the chair. But if you know there's a chair there, it's your own personal experience, so then you're not worried because you know there's a chair there. So someone just told you there's a chair there, you can't see the chair. Now, that's a very crude marshal, but it's the same idea. If you have a personal relationship with something, so you know it. It's you. You and that thing are one. So someone can come along and tell you. Someone come along and tell you you've got six fingers, and prove it to you mathematically. It's cute and lovely. You may even go home and share it with your family. But you know you've got five fingers, right? How do you know you've got five fingers? Because you know you have an internal knowledge that you have five fingers. So if you have an internal knowledge that you know Hashem, you have a relationship with Hashem. How do you walk away from it just because someone told you you don't? That's the vote of the Shlo HaKadosh here. So what do we need Elo Kei Ovi for then? That's not his question, I'm just asking that as a side. If you have Zek Kaili, what do you need Kel Ovi for? So that I once heard from Rav Pultz. He said that you have to know who this Kel is. Make sure it's the right God that you're having a relationship with. Make sure it's Kel Ovi. Kel Ovi is the source. Who is this God that I have a relationship with, that I'm building a relationship with? Is it the genuine thing? So that you need Kel Ovi for the Messiah to know who you have a relationship with. But the Etzem Dveikas, the Anivahu, that comes from Keili, Elokai, the Shamash and the Satabi. It's personal, it's me. And it's in the singular. Okay, so that's what we... So that's what we got up to. Boruch! How's it, man? Wonderful to see you, man. Uliski told you it's my fault that you don't come. I have to get punched for you. I'm all beset. Adam Shechai Umakaimis Mitzvahs Boyre, the law Makoiri Yois, for the law Yechid Yois. Somebody who keeps the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without Mekuriyot, I don't know what Mekuriyot means here. Without Mekuriyot means originality, but I don't know if that's the word here. But Lo Yechidyos, without, I think what he's trying to say, without a personal input, without his own unique personal input, Rochok Hu Mimakor Chaim, he's very far from the source of life. Rochok Mehashem Elokim Chaim, he's far away from Hashem, who's the source of life. And because of this, he loses the chius, the life force and the simcha. Chai, what does it mean? Chai, purusha liyais mekori, original. Anybody here has a car? Yeah, you know there's two types of parts. There's mekori and there's sini. There's the original part, you know, the authentic, and then there's sini. It comes from sin, it must be not original and authentic. So a person has to live a life of Makuri means authentic. But it means something more than that. It means it's from him, inside him. Living waters, the halachic definition of Maim Chaim. What's Maim Chaim? Is water that flows from its source. Not a well. A well, that's not the source of the water. A Mayan. A spring, that is the source of the water, that's called Maim Chaim. Raka Sha'adam Magish, Ki Avoidus Hashem Uchayv, Shizel Iskoy, Only when a person feels that avodas Hashem is his life, that's what he does for a living. When somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? You tell them, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor. That's narishkat. That's not what you do. That's not your asek. That's something you have to do because it's a klal or whatever. It's a what's your asek? Shumakayim kesher chai beino lebein boire. Harei ze ois v'simen ki hisig esa oishe v'tom v'yadut. When he understands that his asek, his business, is getting close and building relationship with Hashem. When he understands that, and everything he does flows from that relationship with Hashem. Why is he at work today? Because that flows from a relationship with Hashem. Why is he learning now? That flows from a relationship with Hashem. Whatever he's doing is all part of his relationship with Hashem. That's a sign that he has attained true Oisha v'tom v'yadus. He's found the true Simcha that lurks in Yiddishkeit, that's buried in Yiddishkeit. The mistake we make is we think that Aruchnius is one thing, Agashmius is another thing. It's not true. It's all one thing. It's all one thing. A person goes to the bank and he signs a check, that's Ruchnius. It depends where his head is. He's going to work to support the family, to do what he has to do. Makayim mitzvah ishtadlis, or Makayim the klal of ishtadlis. I'm going into ishtadlis now. We'll deal with that maybe later in the week. That's all part of his avodas Hashem. Everything he does comes from what the Torah tells me to do. This person can also transfer his avodas Hashem to somebody else. If Torah and mitzvahs, that's what he's, that's his stock in trade, that's what his portfolio looks like. He's chosen them as part of his life, as part of his business, with a simcha tuv leivov. He can then pass it on to his children. That doesn't mean, by the way, that if his children don't chap it, doesn't mean he didn't do that. You can do this and also the children don't get it. There's other reasons why children don't get it. But he has to do what he has to do. He's got to find it inside himself, and he's got to reveal it that's what he's doing. Then you matzliach. On the other hand, when a person just does the mitzvahs because that's what you got to do, when a person does the mitzvah without that, he's doing it because he has without chius, without life force, without an understanding of kedusha, with law originality, without understanding this is his personal relationship with Hashem. Goenu chay, konef shav leilin yaveh sheinu matzmir chazkolam peiros. He's like a tree that doesn't produce fruit. My son says to me yesterday, he's coming to his bar mitzvah. I said to him, why aren't you going to daven? Ani lo chayv. Ani od lo bar mitzvah, ani lo chayv. Ma ta rotze mimeni? I said, you daven because you chayv? You daven because you chayv. When you're 4 years old, you daven. 6 years old, you daven because you chayv. You don't daven because you chayv. You talk to me because you chayv. When you want a ofnai chashmali and you come to beg me for it, you talk to me because you chayv? No, you talk to me because you want the ofnai chashmali. You want something from me, so you come to talk to me. You got daven because you want to talk to Hashem. Lo biklal, you chayev. Ani lo chayev. Bar mitzvah, ani chayev. Ani kvalel. So what do you want from a kid like that? He's not getting it. He's not. I don't know. I have to check myself at what's going wrong here. But he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. All right. 12-year-olds don't have to get it. We have to get it. He hasn't got it. Yeah. So he's a little sus. No, but I'm saying. Yeah, but you have to. Yes. That's the problem with these kids, that when he gets to 18, he still has the same musag. His tefillah looks like at 18, like it looks like when he's 12. That's a churba. It's not personal. It's not real. You can't make it real for him. You have to make it real for yourself. That's an avoida kashe ma'od. Yudi shechayes hakesh ha'yichoydi sheloim boi ra'ilam uboiche beyaduso mitoi chavona. Let's talk to us. a person who lives with that unique relationship that he has with Hashem, and he chooses his Yiddishkeit through an understanding that that is the greatest simcha that a person can get in this world. There's no pleasure in this world that can compete with that pleasure of serving Hashem the way He wants you to. He becomes unique and original. As then is then he can shine on the entire environment and he can have enormous influence on other people. The originality that a person acquires for himself in his avoider, it can impact on everybody around him. You see a person like that. You see there are people like that. Who the relationship with Hashem is, I feel it with Amrut Rav Tauba. I felt it the very first time I read Tauba 30 years ago. I walked away, I said to my wife, this is the first time I've ever sat in a room with somebody who I know is sitting with Hashem. She felt like you were with Hashem because you were with somebody who was with Hashem. So right then, but I'm with him then I'm with Hashem. Rav Pinkus was another one. Not because of their great Kedusha and their, you know, you got a Gedolei Israel. I remember being by Rav Shach. As I felt something more unique there. That was something else. But Rav Tauba, I just felt I'm sitting with somebody who's mamash real with Hashem. And it impacts, it changes. I first, what he's going to bring now, I first heard from Simcha Wasserman. Could be that he's bringing it from Simcha as well, I don't know. It's a very, very important marshal. It sounds like a simple marshal, but yeah, it's very powerful. Bring an example that makes this idea real. In America they invented, I don't know if they did or not, but probably why not? They invented a synthetic potato that tastes and smells exactly like tapuach adama makori, original, not sini, original tapuach adama. Ulam sof sof synthetic. You can cook it, bake it, fry it, looks like potato, smells like a potato, it's got everything the same as a potato. So what's the difference? Where do you see the difference between an original potato and a synthetic potato?
No calories.
Huh? Oh, but you can, but then he's going to grow. Hachubi tapuach adama synthetic. Any matzmiach tapuach adama. Chayrim. Synthetic potatoes don't produce other potatoes. Ve'ilu ha'makori matzmiach kudumoso. You can take a little slice of the potato. You don't have to take the whole potato. You just take a little slice of potato, put it in the ground, and it grows more potatoes, identical to the ones that it came from. Aval synthetic potatoes don't. Hakadosh Baruch Hu ma'anyen shiniyeh makorim. Kosh Bochu wants that our Yiddishkeit should be original and will then affect and mashpia and benefit everybody around us, our families, our children, and the greater community. Yiladeinu nichoinoi b'chayshanim meulim. Everyone knows what a chayshan is. In your car, you've got hundreds of them. In the new cars, they're everywhere. They tell you whether you're young enough.
Sensors.
Oh, yeah. Sensors and senses. Goes together, yeah. Get back to your senses. Children have very, very refined, sophisticated senses. They know exactly what's going on. You can't fool kids. Hey, mabchinin haitiv ad kama anu mosharim b'kiyum mitzvos ha-Torah. They know exactly whether you're keeping the Torah b'simcha. And what is the level of simcha in our Yiddishkeit? What do we value? What don't we value? What's important? What's not important? What our priorities are? To the extent that we expand ourselves and our simcha and our genuine internal avoida and uniqueness in the way we serve Hashem, then you can pass it on and produce genuine potatoes. Reb Simcha was asked this question about the kibbutzim. Is why you said many of the religious kibbutzim, the kids left. There was a known phenomenon in the 70s that most of the kids left the frum kibbutzim. I have a whole bunch of family also. They all left, very few stayed. He asked why. So he used this as an answer. When the Yiddishkeit's authentic, it produces authentic. When it's not authentic, it can't produce. The Yiddishkeit he held on the kibbutzim wasn't authentic. You know, that's another discussion. I'm going to that now. That's what he was answering the question to. Hakoyshi Agodu Ban Khalas Shmiras Atoyva Mitzvahs Vavata Kuroi Bidoreinu Bibnei Doaba. The great difficulty of this, that what we're talking about, is getting real with your Torah and internalizing it yourself and then handing it over to the next generation. Noiva Mitoy Chilufa Hanisoinus Hamishtanim Chadashim Levakri. We live in a generation where the nisoinus and the changes are taking place so fast we can't keep up with ourselves. Rabbi Soloveitchik says one of the problems why we can't take time out to be boichin b'Hashem, inshallah b'china, is one of the problems we have why we don't have time to be boichin and understand who Hashem really is because of the enormous nisoinus and difficulties and the chasing and running after life, to trying to survive. Ketzev hachidushim v'apituim asholtim b'rechov mischaref. The rate at which the Yetzer brings new seductions, I don't have to tell you, it's things that are happening in this world. I was trying to remember what the world looked like before smartphones. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, that's just a small example. But there's so many new nisoinim. Every day you wake up, there's new nisoinim, new challenges, new struggles, new battles. Life's moving fast. Most people today are working in jobs that 10 years ago didn't exist. Today the big buy investments are looking for the investment that doesn't exist already. They want to invest in something that doesn't exist. What's going to be the next big, you know? It's beyond comprehension. The way our lives have changed and the nisoinus and the difficulties that come every day. Chadashim levakrim aleinu itmoided im nisoinus chadashim. Every day you have to withstand new challenges and learn how to deal with them. We don't have the tools. We've never done this before. There's no one to ask because no one's ever been through them before. L'neichach uvdezu yitmoidedus haynu kashe maod v'ikah koishim mitgale v'mah v'bein adoyres. What this leads to is an enormous gap between the generations. A generation gap is something that shouldn't exist in Yiddishkeit. There shouldn't be a generation gap. In this generation, there's a generation gap. Why? Because kids are growing up with things that are normal and intrinsic to them that we have to learn how to do. There's a very big businessman told me, he's a big investor. He told me there's a thing called reverse mentoring. You heard this phenomenon? Listen to this. It's moedik. Achaptus, it's such genius. We have to do that as parents. It's one of the things a Jewish parent has to do that a Jewish parent's never had to do before. But in business, you have to do this as well. He's 45, big businessman, been investing whatever for years. What's the problem today? The world out there, the business world out there, has things in it that you don't know. They're not natural to you. The technological world is beyond you. No matter how much you sit and learn it and deal with it, it's beyond you. There's 15-year-olds, for them it's natural, it's just normal. You got a problem with your phone, you give it to the kid, says, give it to me, I duck, 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 and he's whatever, I don't know what he's done, he's made it into an apple or something, whatever. For you to do that, you'd have to take out the manual and spend 20 years trying to work it out. So they have a thing now called reverse mentoring, where you get a 40-year-old. What's normal mentoring? Normal mentoring, you've got a successful businessman, 45, 50, some young kid starting out in business, he wants to get help. So he goes and he hangs around with this guy, and this very sweetly teaches him the ropes, yeah? That's called mentoring. It's a well-known thing in business. In South Africa, the Jewish community there, guys volunteer, and they mentor and they help other businessmen, whatever, to learn, young guys coming up, to learn the ropes, give them a head start in business. Today they have a thing called reverse mentoring. What is it? You get some 18-year-old genius, okay? He sits and he mentors the businessman. This guy tells me he goes off to Harvard 3-4 times a year and he sits with these 23-year-old geniuses, okay? And they mentor him so that he learns and understands what's going out there. What's the next greatest invention? Where to invest? How to invest? How do you know? You know what these guys are talking about. Talking about, you know, whatever, wireless electricity, whatever. You know what he's talking about? These guys are working with it already. They're already there. So if you take that, and you're supposed to learn from the physical world to the spiritual world, in Yiddishkeit, the nisoinus our children are going through, the difficulties, the struggles, what's going on in their lives, we have no idea what they're talking about. So you carry on giving them what you think they need, and you're finished. One of my rabbis told me, his father, his late father, was one of the big mashgichim in Bnei Brak. He'd been a mashgich for 50 years, been in chinuch his entire life. Well, he was nifted about 2 years ago. About 5 years ago, the Rav told me that his father had told him that if he doesn't change his whole approach to chinuch, he has to retire. It's not shaykh. A guy with 50 years experience in chinuch, he's have to put everything I ever learned aside. It's not shaykh anymore. It's not shaykh anymore. Either I learn the new generation or I have to retire. The problem is there are a lot that don't know that. They're carrying on using the old tools and there's a law of ed. But you understand, the changes taking place are so big. The Mashgiach in Tifrach told me, he said, a Bocher in Shir Gimel can't understand a Bocher in Shir Aleph. The gap between Shir Aleph and Shir Gimel is so big, you've been in Yeshiva. Shir Aleph, Shir Gimel, Nishkreisazach. No, it's not such a big deal. The gap today is so enormous that a Bocher in Shir Gimel can't understand a Bocher in Shir Aleph. That's the gap. The world is changing so fast, by the time a Bocher gets to Shir Gimel, the Bocher comes in Shir Aleph, they're living in different worlds already. That's what he told me. That's what Daniel told me. I see it in my house. My second generation, the kids I'm bringing up now compared to the kids I brought up 10 or 15 years ago. If I deal with the older kids, what I do with the older kids, was a masliach with them, I'd wreck these kids, ruin them on the spot. You can't. Not shy. Completely different world. And that makes this nisoin very difficult. Very difficult. The parents still have imuna and belief and are functioning according to the previous generation. If you look, our children are already dealing with the next generation's seductions of the Yetzer Hara. What we had to deal with the Yetzer, our children have to deal with. What they're dealing with, we don't even begin to understand what they're dealing with. Lamarot kashim elu adam chayu mekoyim v'vedes Hashem mikivan kashamu zi iskoy hu yimtza besatira eitzes keitzin lamoyim b'kol enisoyimus. However, somebody who is living a real life every day is coming into Kodesh Baruch Hu new. He's serving Hashem new. He's looking for this relationship that he's having with Hashem. He finds solutions to these nisoyimus because his relationship with Hashem is alive. He's not playing out yesterday's script. He's writing a new script every day. The Brisker Rav, Sipa Maisa, Shitrachesh B'mei Oviv, Rav Chaim. The Brisker Rav was the son of Rav Chaim Brisker. Adam Ploini Osa Pula Mazika Shigamula Kilkul B'yadut. The certain person did something damaging that caused the kilkul in Yiddishkeit, whatever he did, I don't know what he did. Kashi Sipra Kach Legrach, Nisa Imim Neichachim, Ladziku B'taina. He done a kafshus, so to speak, and he said, "Kimayev shel tzapot mimenu, varekti peshu." Sorry, the Brisker Rav tried to matzdik what he did, and he said, "What do you want from the guy? He's a tipesh. He did something, whatever." So the Brisker Rav said, "Reb Chaim, no, what's the use to for him? He's a tipesh." Nana grach v'amo. Reb Chaim answered him. We say in this world that even a fool, when it comes to his business, he's a chacham. The biggest fool, when it comes to what he's doing, what's important to him, suddenly becomes a big chacham. Somebody who did such a terrible thing, it's a proof that if he did a tipshit thing like that, it's a right that his Yiddishkeit, not his business. Ilula Kain who aya chochem boy sinyan. If his Yiddishkeit was his business in that area, he would have been a chochem. Well, let's stop there. There's more. We'll bring more proofs for this. But the fact is, we have to find in ourselves a way to build a personal relationship with Hashem and get it real, internal. Just doing it because it says so in Shulchan Aruch, it's not a bad place to start. But that's not the place to finish. In this generation, it's critical, critical to do this. Without this, it's not shy. There's so many proofs and so many lachatzes and so many things pulling us away from a relationship with Hashem, that if it's not real and eternal, it's very easy to just lose it. Okay, let's Hashem, we'll carry on. We've got to find out how you do this. How practical is this? Can I ask you guys a personal question? You don't have to answer. But this question was asked to me, and it mamash rocked me off my feet. How did I never think of this question? Has anybody ever thought about and asked themselves the following question? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu think of me? Anybody ever asked themselves that question? What does Hashem think of me? Yeah? I mean, it swirls around abstractly, but I never sit down and ask myself, let's confront this question. What does Yankel think of me? What does my Rebbe think of me? What does my wife think of me? What does the bank manager think of me? Yeah, those we all, yeah, yeah. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu think of me? I'm telling you now, it took me off my feet. What does Hashem think of me? That's an avoider, lo pashut. First of all, what does he do for me? Look how much he does for me. I mean, what does he think of me? Is what I think about myself in sync with what Hashem thinks about me? Do I love myself as much as Hashem loves me? Do I care for myself as much as that? Anyway, think about it. It's a very powerful tool to make Hashem real. Just think about what he thinks about me. He must have some thoughts about me. You know, he keeps me alive, he keeps my heart pumping and the blood and this miracle called me alive. There must be Elokeinu Shomash in Asalta B'Tahirihi. There must be, you know, Asher Yotzei Sa'adam B'Chochma Goli V'Dun Ifnei Kisei Kveidecha. Just my bathroom functions are Lifnei Kisei Kveidecha. What does he think about me? Mighty good question. He told me the one just wrote a sefer, and in there, this is one of the questions he grapples with. Talmidim Yosem Mikulam. I don't know, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe people do this all the time. I don't know. It's posh. Tov, have a good day, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Are you 5 seconds?
No, man.
I do. I'm not going to get ahead of him over 5 seconds.